This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. No Jonathan Hood this week. He is on assignment. Of course, you can always listen to him Sundays from 9 until noon Eastern time over on Sirius XM Pro Wrestling Nation. I'm Gabe Knights from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. And we're getting closer and closer to the Elimination Chamber happening in Jay Hood's neck of the woods in Chicago at the end of the month. We're starting to get a little bit more clarity with the matches that are happening each week on SmackDown and on Raw, and we're getting a clearer picture. But as we sit here, 9 days away from the Elimination Chamber, Brian, what interests you more, the men's or the women's Elimination Chamber?
So I think I go the women's side. We talked about it a week ago when it comes to Cody Rhodes and his event in the world title picture. It seems like it's inevitable that he'll be. So there's really no intrigue there. Even having someone like Gunther in there would have given us a little bit of intrigue. We don't get that now. We have Orton. We have LA Knight. We have Javon Evans. We probably have Bronson Reed, and we probably have Damian Priest, I guess, or Trick. Guys that are not going to win, basically. Whereas the women's side, yeah. You can almost make a case for really all of them. Tiffany Stratton, Rhea, Alexa, Asuka. And then this week we'll get Io or Raquel, and then Charlotte or not. That to me is fun. It's fun when you go into it and say, I don't know who's going to be the last person standing. And I don't think we have that on the men's side.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why, you know, that we saw for, you know, maybe the reason for Cody losing the championship to Drew McIntyre is, oh, well, it's too stale for Cody to be having the championship. He's got to be on the chase. This is kind of boring and for me right now, like, just because, again, you kind of know what's going to happen. There's no intrigue. And I'll tell you what, I have not enjoyed the build to either chamber match right now. The women's is the answer because there's intrigue. Like, we don't know. I mean, I think at this point, it looks like Liv is going to be challenging Stephanie Vaquer just based on everything that happened on Monday night. Yeah. And okay, so now who's going to go, challenge for the WWE championship on the SmackDown side? And on the men's side, and really on the both on the men's and women's side, I hate how they kind of bring in, look, you're having these triple threat matches, so I know you got to have, you know, there's got to be, say, there's a lot of wrestlers that go into this, but like burning Gunther, I know he didn't factor into the decision, but like putting him in a match and then he doesn't win, like that kind of kills a little bit of that momentum. Same thing with Lash. Like, Lash had a ton of momentum coming out of the Women's Royal Rumble. She looked fantastic. We talked about it the day of, after that Lash Legend and Sol Ruka looked fantastic. Now, Sol is still in NXT, and she's doing the things that she's doing down there, which, okay, I guess that's where we're going. She goes from almost winning the damn Rumble to still being in NXT and dealing with a tag team breakup before she comes up to one of the rosters. But, like, Lash looked like a beast. She looked awesome. Yes. And I understand it's too soon to, like, throw her in a championship match at WrestleMania, but you don't have to put her in an Elimination Chamber match just to have some of the glow kind of come off of her. And I just haven't enjoyed how they've done the build. I understand you want to earn it. That makes sense to me. Do one-on-one matches. If you don't feel like you have enough wrestlers to put together six different triple threat matches, right? Like that's a lot of wrestlers. Just narrow it down, do one-on-one matches and you go from there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, to your point, you could just not put them in that match. And all of a sudden, like the match on Monday, like El Grande Americano is in it. He's not winning. You know, not a spoiler alert there. You have Jey Uso, you have Bronson Reed. There's intrigue there. You can make a case for both Jey and Bronson. Burning Gunther in that match makes absolutely no sense. Same thing with Lash. And it's just at the point now with the men's side, like Cody and Drew had their send-off. We had three stages of hell. Like that's the end of the story. If we're going to use the story terminology, it's over. Why are we still going? Like, I just don't get it right now.
Yeah, and again, maybe they sprinkle in. I don't know how they sprinkle in. If somehow in the chamber, you know, but you can't even have Cody get costed the chamber by Fatu at this point to make it
but
a triple.
Friday was your out. Rumor. Like if Drew cost both Cody and Fatu, you could have had that triple threat at Elimination Chamber. There's the title match, and then someone fresh wins the chamber and challenges one of them for the title. Like, you had an opening. It was right there. Let Sammy win it. And obviously, I prefer he win the chamber, but he wouldn't have to do that. But putting him in that, you at least have that intrigue. Instead, you put Cody there. We might get Drew and Fatu at the chamber for the title, but, like, Drew's going to win that, and it just makes no sense.
Yeah. And yeah, but yeah, again, on the women's side, you can make a case for even the two TBDs in there.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them, I think, would be an intriguing matchup for Jade Cargill. Like, they're all intriguing matchups. Whether, I mean, Tiffany as a face just doesn't work for me.
I tend to agree.
Promo, and then like she's having the crowd like boo, like, come on, man. I know you want to encourage the crowd to boo somebody as the baby face, but it just, maybe I just need to give it a little bit more time, because I was also against Bailey being a heel. Sure. Initially didn't work, but long term I would argue it did. So maybe it's just one of those situations where I got to be more patient with it. It just doesn't seem right with Tiffy right now being a baby face. I mean, I don't think Rhea wins, because I mean, I don't think it makes sense for them to have the tag titles and then have Rhea or Io be in a championship match unless they're pulling double duty, which, as deep as that women's roster is right now, I'm also pissed off that Natty's not in this thing. Like, you burned her again, another person that you burned in a match. Like, you're trying to build up Natty as this badass, and somehow she can't take care of Maxine Dupri. Like, so
yeah,
like, and then with getting Rhea, Natty in this match to me would have been exciting.
I agree. Rhea, I feel like, is evergreen enough. You put her in any title match, she's going to make it work. I'm starting to fall in love with the idea of Alexa, as over as she is, as, you know, telling the story of like, oh, I never get a shot. Her versus Jade being that underdog and then winning the title, which they mentioned this past week, and 2018 was her last title run. It's been a while. That could be a fun match. Yeah.
Yeah. Pre-pandemic? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I'm looking this up.
I'm pretty sure that's what the announcing team said.
Now I'm intrigued that she's like a 5-time champ, isn't she? Like, she's won like a significant amount of championships.
So that's someone though, like her and Jade, I think could be fun.
Yeah. So she is a 5-time champ. See if I can look up the last time she won one here.
Let's see. Good old cage match that attacked. Oh, she was a 24/7 champion in 2022. Okay, Raw women's champion in 2018.
That's it? Wow.
Yeah, she's been the tag team champ and a 24 champ since then.
Wow. That's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like, because again, Alexa's like one, she doesn't get the attention, right? Like, but I mean, again, right. Winning 5 championships is a lot of championships to win on the singles level, to win, you know, the height of your show in WWE. So yeah, I certainly can get behind Alexa. And again, that kind of, it gets Charlotte around the main event, but not in the main event. She's been, and again, I think she's been really opening up. She was talking about, I saw on social media, a video of her talking about inspiration from a child that she met through Make-A-Wish, where one of the WWE producers was like at an event and they FaceTimed, and now she's drawing inspiration from this child. Like, she's really opened up and has been fantastic. And like her giving Alexa a signed picture of herself for Galentine's Day was, I really enjoyed that on SmackDown. So yeah, I could get behind Alexa, but again, I think I feel with any of them, you could kind of get, as you mentioned, you could get behind any of the women that are ultimately going to be there. Like, it's been a minute since Asuka, you know, has been a champ. Like, again, I don't think you go heel versus heel there. So that doesn't make a ton of sense. It seems like Tiffy to me, but maybe I'm wrong about that. And maybe it ends up being Alexa, because I think that could, the run-up of Alexa versus Jade, again, especially with the stark difference, right?
Like, yes.
Alexa's the 5 feet of fury, right? And Jade Cargill is this Adonis of the women's division, like just chiseled, carved out of stone, physically superior, David versus Goliath match, easy story to tell, and one I think a lot of people could get into.
And to your point also, like this Charlotte aspect, like teasing her heel turn for the next 2 months of like, she's jealous and she wants to be in that match. And hell, you can even put her in the chamber, have her win tomorrow night, and Alexa is the one that eliminates her, the same way Charlotte eliminated her from the Rumble. Like, there's branches to that story there, and you just don't have any of that on the men's side.
No, because again, you like, we know LA Knight's not winning. We know Javon Evans isn't winning. Again, because you just know, like, to even go, okay, maybe they go something different to swerve us. Like, okay, is that Randy at this point?
Yeah, Randy versus Drew. And then Cody and Fatu. Like, I guess that's not terrible.
No, well, it gets different. Like, and right. Getting Randy, like, Randy's been fantastic. Like, yep. Randy versus Drew, the run-up would be great. And I don't think we'd be rolling our eyes going, okay, here we go again. Because it's been a minute, again, for Randy.
It sucks. If Drew wasn't the champ, I'd make a case for Bronson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As they continue to push him and continue to do that, where it'd be too fast. But in an ideal wrestling world, Bronson versus Fatu for the title? Sign me up for that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could do that. But again, I don't think, really doubt. And I know they've been making, again, the rumors are they're making, you know, significant changes to the WrestleMania card because they're trying to figure out ways to get more people to buy tickets because I can't believe a company that has been as smart as they've been at times is this dumb.
Yep.
Like the tickets are priced outrageously. You're going back to the second city, which used to be a cheap city, but now because everybody used to go there is now a very expensive city. So now people don't want to go back there for the second consecutive year. Like, oh, maybe you should have kept it in New Orleans if you wanted, if the goal was to sell outlandish tickets. But again, some people have to learn lessons the hard way, and that's what WWE is doing this time around. But yeah, the women's chamber, just because the men, yeah, it's going to be Cody and
Brandon Thurston.
Well, I'm curious to see how. What's that?
In terms of ticket prices, Brandon Thurston pointed out this week, WrestleMania 37, the average ticket price for WrestleMania, so 5 years ago, was $170. Last year, WrestleMania 41, $635. Oof. It's a little bit different.
A little bit. And then you're trying to do it back-to-back nights.
Right. Uh-huh. And it always was there. So now that I'm looking, so WrestleMania 37 was 170. WrestleMania 38, 135. WrestleMania 39, 169. Like, it was affordable. Mm-hmm. Not there anymore.
Yeah. And look, even those prices, that is certainly 100 times more affordable. Even for a lot of the families that like would want to go, like that's a pretty big ask. And now you're asking even more.
Yeah.
And again, maybe WWE just needs to learn this lesson the hard way. I'm really curious. And maybe we could talk more about this next week when Hood is back. I'm really curious the reaction Cody's going to get in Chicago when he wins the chamber. Because we've been teetering. There have been some boos some weeks, and then they kind of disappear. Chicago being what Chicago is as a pro wrestling town, one of the obvious everybody runs there, right? We've joked it's the unofficial home of AEW, even though I know their unofficial homes down in Florida. They run in Chicago so damn much it just makes sense. Like Chicago is one of the premier wrestling towns, and they pay attention and they invest. If I'm WWE, I'm a little nervous about Cody getting a Roman Reigns winning the Rumble in Philly reaction.
Do you have to have that match open? Get it out of the way, let them be upset, and then if it ends with an Alexa winning, everyone goes home happy.
Well, I mean, I think it has to end with, I think, with Punk Balor, right? You're in Chicago, Punk Balor. Punk's going over.
That's fine also, I guess.
You know, maybe you open with Becky Lynch and AJ Lee. I'm not sure who goes over there, to be honest.
I agree. But then you have Chambers back-to-back because you assume those are the only four matches we're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you go Chambers back-to-back.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. I agree with you. I think that crowd is not going to be happy when Cody's hand.
You cannot put it in the main event. Can't do it. And maybe we're wrong, Brian. Maybe we're just, you know, cynical wrestling fans, but like, it's a possibility. Like you have to consider it as a possibility and you cannot run that risk of here's our golden boy getting booed by one of the most popular wrestling crowds out there. Like you can't run the risk of ending your show with Cody Rhodes being booed the way it was for Roman all those years ago after he ran the Rumble. And WWE even tried to save Roman's ass by bringing out The Rock because they knew it was a possibility for Roman. And like, oh, well, what if we bring out The Rock? Then nobody's going to boo. Yeah. And Philly still booed the hell out of Roman.
Well, maybe they can dust off Dwayne and he can tap his wrist and count to five or something and call it a day. That'll save everything.
Yeah, Dwayne's getting booed at this point, too. Like, that's just not going to end well for anybody. It's not going to end well for anybody. All right, we move on to the other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. What's number one this week, Brian?
We learned Monday night on Raw it'll be an AJ Styles tribute in Georgia. Also reports this week that AJ's been working out at the Performance Center. So where does the retired AJ Styles wrestle his next match?
He can't wrestle in WWE again, right? Unless, so and it's interesting because around the Rumble, like we were all shocked by it. But then Shinsuke had the post, which he then deleted, talking about, oh yeah, he said he's done at the Rumble. And John Cena just did an interview recently when he, you know, he was going through his retirement tour and he talked about, I forget who was supposed to initially wrestle. I think maybe it was Drew, but they pivoted to AJ Styles. You know, they pivoted to AJ as part of the retirement tour for John because he wasn't on the schedule. And maybe they actually did listen to the fans there a little bit. Again, it's always hard to tell when WWE actually does that. But he had kind of mentioned that at that point, Styles also said, yeah, Rumble, I'm done. That's it for me, man, Rumble. And it does not appear that they have plans right now for Gunther, because they just threw him in a chamber match and have nothing for him. They're not doing anything actively with Gunther. Does like Gunther and AJ, do they run it back at Mania?
But you lost the rumor that I keep seeing float around is Gunther and Rey. Like squash Dragon Lee, and then Rey comes to defend his honor, and then that's Rey's retirement.
Oh, I mean, as sad as that would be to see Rey retire, now we're talking about language. Like I just want to see. I mean, they always talked. I forget who was that. Brock Lesnar. Like he was the prize or KO prize fighter, right? Like only wrestling when money's on the line. At this point, Gunther should only be wrestling if a career's on the line. Like that's the only way you get to wrestle Gunther is if you're willing to put your career on the line against that guy. I certainly would be into that just because again, like I enjoy the gimmick that they're doing, but then you just start kind of speeding that up and kind of start building that in maybe a little bit more. Cause right now it seems like Gunther's wandering aimlessly. Like you can't retire and then wrestle 3 months later. That's egregious even by wrestling standards where nobody actually stays retired.
But that's what I don't get is like the celebration thing. The Rumble was almost a month ago. Like now it's like, oh, all right, we're back in Georgia. Let's dust AJ off. Here's the video package. Goodbye. Like it's just weird.
Yeah. And maybe that's all it is. And maybe his contract is expiring and he does. I don't know. Cause again, at the time it seemed like they started throwing emphasis in WWE. So I don't know if he wanted to get some New Japan stuff in, some Impact stuff in. Like, I can't imagine. I think there's a possibility he shows up in AEW, but I don't think it's a high possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just one of those hype dreams where, like, yeah, it'd be amazing. I think it's WWE. I agree. It's outlandish. I think it's crazy. And I think it furthers the fact that wins and losses don't matter in that company. And hell, stipulations don't matter in that company. I think somehow he's on the Mania card at this point.
Which is... It's an indictment of a number of different things.
Yeah.
A number of different things. Your creative process, your inability to build stars, you're panicking because you can't put any of these young guys over. So we need AJ in order to try to sell tickets. Like, but you don't need AJ. Like you hadn't been using AJ. When was the last time AJ was prominently featured in WrestleMania?
Like the pandemic one against Taker.
Yeah. Which still lives. I mean, it's gonna live forever. It's one of my favorite meme formats out there. Him just cackling to himself and Taker just being right there behind him. But man, what does that say to the rest of your roster that you just like he decided to retire? Now you have to have him come out.
Yeah,
I hope they don't do it, but that's not the feeling I'm getting around it.
Yeah, like just what purpose does it serve to have the celebration? Like it's wrestling. It's gonna be interrupted. Someone's gonna come out. And then does someone just defend his honor because he's retired and then he's in someone's corner? Like, that doesn't get anyone excited.
No. No, AJ just showing his face at WrestleMania just doesn't. Again, this seemed to be the way he wanted to go out. That's why I told the story with John Cena. Like, it seemed like he was telling multiple people 10 years in WWE seemed like a good way. Again, even though it was in Saudi, he liked the closure that it gave him of, I debuted in 2016 at the Rumble. I ended at 26 in the Rumble. That's a nice, neat 10 years for me in WWE, and that's all I need to do.
Looking at his Mania, by the way, since the Taker match, him and Omos challenged New Day for the tag titles. Not exactly a marquee match. Him versus Edge, honestly, I don't remember much of. And then him and LA Knight in Philly.
Oh, sure. So he wasn't even on the card last year.
Right. Uh-huh. The Philly thing I only remember because we continue to get clicks on it, because at the media day, the two of them brawled in front of all the cameras, ours being one of them, and we still get clicks on it 2 years later. So shout out to AJ for that.
Yeah. No, again, so you remember that, but again, like, you weren't using AJ Styles as a premier star in your company for quite some time. Like, now you just realize because he's retiring that he's a premier star?
Right. Yeah. Like, that makes zero sense.
Yeah. There's a lot to question here. And again, we always thought that AJ was not going to be done wrestling. We thought that AJ was going to potentially wrestle somewhere, and maybe 2026 was going to be his last year, and he can go to Impact and go to New Japan. And again, the pipe dream of show up, you know, if they still are doing, if like Kyle Fletcher goes, hey, open challenge TNT championship and AJ Styles shows up, like, yeah, I think that would get a pop for like a one night only type thing, the way we saw with, you know, like Matt Cardona show up a couple of times for that. So I'm not saying he would be in AEW. I'm just saying wrestle on AEW television like one time, just so he can, you know, kind of wrestle some of these dream matches that he may or may not have. But it kind of seems like maybe they worked something out with, because everybody's understanding. And again, the rumors of contracts can also be misleading. We're going to talk about Chris Jericho a little bit later in the show in news and notes. So maybe the understanding of when his contract expired is not what everybody thought, and he still got some left on it, and maybe they convince him to. But AJ, like, even AJ doesn't seem like the guy to me that would come out of, no, I said I was going to put my career in WWE on the line. That has to mean something. And you can't go back on that.
Like, they put themselves in these corners. Like, they could have just not done that stipulation at the Rumble. They could have done anything else. And then saved it for Mania, where many people thought it was going to be the case. Like, no one's forcing them to do this stuff. Where they're like, ah, oh, crap, now what do we do? Like, we see that in MMA, where it's like, oh, we have this big main event. Now someone's hurt. Now we're screwed. We got to figure something else out. You're making the decisions. Like, don't put that stipulation if you still want to throw him out there at Mania. I don't understand their logic there.
Yeah. Well, because again, this was what AJ wanted. And now they're, if they're trying to convince AJ that he needs to come back, but you can't do it that quick. You just can't. I understand you put career. I mean, Ric Flair wrestled for, 15 years?
He still wants more. Charlotte has told him no on social media, but he wants more.
Speaking of which, if you're going to be in Milwaukee end of the month, Ric Flair is going to be the special guest of Thanalysis Live, part of the Good Karma Brands family of podcasts. Thanalysis Nagumbo does a show. He's doing a live one here in Milwaukee. Ric Flair is a special guest. TATickets.com is how you can get tickets. If you're in Milwaukee, you want to see Ric Flair at the end of March, March 27th.
Flair versus Giannis final match? You work that in that night?
I'd be scared, man. Like, I don't need one of the Adetokunbos kind of nudging him in the corner. Mr. Flair, it's time for the finish. Don't need that.
Wake up.
Don't need that. Don't need him to be officially declared dead during a match. Like, all I know, right, that's fine. That may be what he wants, but again, Rick never wrestled in WWE again. He's wrestled how many other places since that retirement? And I know pro wrestlers don't stay retired. And really the only one who did it for a long time was HBK, right? Like, even some guys who you think are retired try to make comebacks for one last match. Mick Foley tried to do it and then realized, okay, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
So everybody tries to do it. And I understand, like, if AJ Styles wrestles again in 5 years in WWE, fine, I get it. You can't do it 3 months after you put the stipulation out there. I understand there have been times where WWE has thought that their fans don't remember anything. People remember that from 3 months ago.
That is a good point.
We'll have to wait and see with AJ. What do we got at number two?
We had the chance this week. SmackDown comes to Fort Lauderdale, the Sunrise area, tomorrow night, and we had a chance to chat with the United States champion, maybe a chamber participant, Carmelo Hayes, earlier this week. And this was our conversation with Mello.
Excited to talk to our next guest. He is going to be with the SmackDown team coming up this Friday. Check him out in Sunrise if you're down there in the Florida area. He is the U.S. champion. He is Carmelo Hayes. Mello, appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. We're good now. We had a little bit of connection issues, but we're back. I appreciate you guys' time as well.
Yeah. I mean, and you have been an interesting story to me on SmackDown because you start off so strong and you have, you know, as one of the top picks, you get that match with Cody Rhodes right away. And now you're riding that high once again as U.S. champ and having a great run with that U.S. Open Challenge that you have been continuing as well. What are the big lessons you've learned in the first couple of years on SmackDown?
This year has been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but we figured it out. It was about staying consistent, about learning from my mistakes and moving forward and waiting for the right time to strike while the iron is hot.
We've talked a lot on this show about the young guns, about the new talent coming up and taking over the top of the card on Raw and SmackDown. For you, how important is your class of NXT, your graduating class, we'll call it, yourself, Trick, Braun? How important are guys like you to building on the legacy that is the WWE?
I think it's crucial. I think every, 10 years, you see a group of guys that come in and change the game. You know, I was comparing it at one point to when Roman and when Seth and Big E and that whole crop of guys came through and changed the game in that era, Daniel Bryan, and then 10 years before that, when it was Randy, Cena, Lesnar, Shelton, that whole class and that boom era of that ruthless aggression era. Every 10 years or so, you have a crop of guys, and I like to believe that we're that crop of guys for this modern era.
Who's somebody that's really kind of helped you as you continue to grow in WWE?
It's a lot of guys that have helped. I mean, it takes a village a lot of time with WWE, and we're so grateful that the fact that we have so many legends and OGs still around. I mean, I got to give credit to Shawn Michaels, first and foremost. He was just one of those guys that believed in me from the jump. He was one of the first guys that put me in front of Triple H at the Performance Center. Just say, hey, look at this kid. And, he's been a big, big help. I mean, but then guys now today, it's everybody up there, man. It's the Codys, it's the Randys, it's the Miz. Even Hunter and everybody from top to bottom has just been so monumental in trying to help the youth, CM Punk, Seth, all those guys.
How much do you sort of have those pinch me moments as a fan of pro wrestling? Saw you post recently, you and AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio just backstage. How much is it still surreal to you in that moment?
It's very cool. I went to them. I went to Ray. I was like, Ray, bro, please, before we get off the stage, can we get a pic? I said, this is just for me. And then I asked, it was so cool. I'm like, can I post this? But there's a lot of those moments, man. And it's sometimes it is wild. Sometimes I do have to step out of my own shoes and be like, holy crap, I'm living my dream. And then a lot of times it's like, all right, hey, you're at work. So, lock in and do what you got to do. So
you mentioned Miz, and I think that's interesting because he might be one of the more underrated guys in WWE, despite all the success that he's had. And you obviously got to work closely with him. Like, what's one thing about him that people don't know?
I don't know what people know or don't know, actually. So that's why I don't really know what I can tell you. Because he's been on TV for 20 plus years, right? Mm-hmm. I think at this point, something like that. So you probably know everything. He's at a TV show, you know what I mean? But he's a cool dude, man. Like, despite what people want to portray him as or whatever, and he's super, I'm trying to get a word how to explain it. He's necessary, if that makes sense. Like, he's a necessary person to have around. I remember at one point, despite whatever we have going on storyline-wise, I just said, I was like, bro, just thank you for being here. I'm like, I'm so happy that you're here. I just had to tell him that. I was like, I'm just so happy you're here and I'm here at the same time and I'm getting to learn from you. Because there's a lot of times where, feeling low. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know what's going on. And the only person that's ever been able to explain it to me is The Miz, because he's been high, he's been low, he's been in the middle, he's been, you know what I mean? And he's done it so many times, and he gave me a great quote, I guess, or some advice where he told me, he goes, hey, when you're at the top, it's gonna be easy because you figured out how to manage at the bottom. I was like, dang, like, that's so true. And he's like, yeah, he's like, just wait. He's like, everybody gets a turn. in a way, not everybody gets a turn. But, when you're good, you're going to get chosen at some point, right?
So you talk about that and that patience. For you, how much is it, hey, let the bell ring, let me do my thing, where we've seen with the U.S. Open Challenge, some of those matches where you say, hey, I can do my thing and that'll help me stand out.
That's so crucial, bro. I think at the end of the day, I was like, if they just put me in the ring, I'll be okay. Yeah. They just put me in the ring, or they just give me an opportunity to do anything. You know, I think that that's half the battle. I mean, if you look at the landscape of WWE, everybody's fantastic. You know what I mean? It's not like we're in some, you know, it's not like some guys aren't good. Like, these are just guys that all just need the ball. And I'm one of them. And, you know, I think I was, like I said, just put me in the ring and just give me a little bit of time and let me cook. You know what I mean? I'd like to think that my style, it meshes well with everybody. I'd like to think that I, you know, can move with Braun Strowman to Akira Tozawa and figure it out. You know what I mean? So I think that was crucial in just keeping me afloat.
So who are some guys you're hoping that might answer that challenge that you might get to work with?
I mean, there's guys that I obviously, you know, I mean, I don't know fully. There's guys I want to wrestle in general. I mean, as far as who wants to answer the open challenge, to be honest, I think the open challenge is becoming a little bit more. I feel like I want to bring, I know people have been saying about storylines. I do want to bring storylines back, because I do feel like there is a period where guys have to earn an opportunity to get a title shot. You know what I mean? I don't think I should just be able to pull up every Friday and just automatically get a title shot because I didn't get, you know what I mean? Until the open challenge opened, I had to earn one. And it took a lot. If you guys remember, I was battling Andrade freaking every week, just killing ourselves to get an opportunity for an opportunity. So you know what I mean? I like to bring that back, you know, but for as far as like who I want to open, I'm not going to name any names. I think I'm just pretty open to whoever. There's guys I want to wrestle, but whoever opens, whoever steps up to open challenges is what it is.
What is the most difficult part of finding that balance of telling the stories that are going to attract a casual fan, but also then having those bangers that's going to attract the hardcore fan?
Truthfully, I just go out and do what I do. I don't have a formula for it. I just try to just have the best performance I could possibly have and get people to care. I truly don't know. I don't know. You know, somehow it's working. I'm not putting anything extra into it. I'm just doing what I do, and we're figuring it out as we go. Like I said, it's week to week. I'm just taking what I'm being given, and I'm trying to make the best of it. And, you know, like I said, I want to get back to telling stories.
What are some of the best stories you think you've told so far as a professional wrestler? What are some things you're proud of?
Yeah, I'm really proud of the Trick Mello stuff we did in NXT. Obviously, that was something that I think really propelled us. I'm proud of all the stuff I did in NXT. We had a lot of opportunities to tell stories there. I mean, here we have the stuff with The Miz, and I think the story still might be a little ongoing. I don't know. But we're figuring it out as we go. But yeah, I really like to get put and involved in something that is has some like meat, you know what I mean? And some like something to people can grasp onto and really follow. So
what were some of those stories as a fan that you latched onto and said, okay, that's something that inspired me and made you want to chase this dream?
Yeah. I mean, there's really like, underdog stories are always good. You know what I mean? I can go as far back as, I don't want to say as far, but I remember when I got back into wrestling again, cause I'd watched wrestling all as a kid, got to high school, kind of got out of it, started training, and got back into wrestling at the same time. And Daniel Bryan was coming up with the Yes Movement. I'll never forget that. And I was like, holy crap, B-plus player. And they stacked all the odds against him. And then he overcame Randy and Triple H and Batista and Triple H, all at WrestleMania. Like, beautiful story. And then even going as far back to, I mean, I keep saying as far back, like it's far. Far back for who, right? Far back for young kids. But so, I mean, just even more recently than I'll say more recently one, Cody and Roman, you know what I mean? Finish your story. That was a great story told, you know what I mean? Cody winning the Rumble, but not winning that WrestleMania. That was like very unpredictable. I feel like it's like we're so used to being, you know, in the era of predictability that was something that wasn't predictable at all. So, and then him overcoming and finishing his story made it so sweet. So, yeah.
Not to, again, you can check out Mello as he's going to be in Sunrise coming up this Friday. And I don't want to make this seem like it's a knock on the American crowds, but I mean, you guys have been doing a lot of international traveling, announced today Clash is going to be in Italy this year. What's it like performing in front of those European fans? Because again, they just seem so organized, Mello. They've got all the chants, they're doing them together. Like, I just don't know how they do it. And I got to imagine as a performer, that's got to be a thrill going to all those cities that you guys just went to and now, again, are going to be going back to.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that their American fans are ungrateful, but I would go as far to say that it's more scarce to have WWE in the UK and all these other countries. So they are, when we come, it's like they, it's an event. And, you know, I will say a lot of those crowds are football, soccer crowds. And if you know anything about like football or soccer or whatever, it's like they're diehard, and they are, I guess, like you can call them organized, and they are very, you know, they know kind of where they're going with things, and they're different. And they bring the energy, they bring the noise, and we're excited to see them, and they're excited to see us.
Is there a chant or anything that's like made you chuckle, whether it was backstage or you were in the ring, like anything that kind of got your attention maybe more than others?
I mean, I remember one time I was working with The Miz, and they were doing the tiny, tiny balls, something like that. And I think me and Mike both looked at each other, were like, oh, that's a new one. And there's been more. I just, off the top of my head, that's the first one.
I mean, is that difficult? Like, you got to stay in character when this is happening. You can't even give it a little chuckle, you know?
I will say that one time Mike and I had I think we were in Paris or somewhere, and the crowd completely, obviously we're telling the story of me kind of getting out of his shadow, whatever, but the crowd, they just completely didn't care about me. me and Mike, I said to Mike at one point, I said, what's going on? Like, I was like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, I thought they're supposed to care about me. And they're chanting for The Miz. So you gotta get out. I said, Mike, we gotta get out of here, man. And then the next week we were in, I forget where we were at. Whatever. We were somewhere, but we were overseas, and they were right back on track. So it's just one of these weird things about going overseas. But
that American crowd, though, a week ago, I saw a little smile from you when they hit that mellow don't miss. What's that feeling like when the crowd's like, all right, they're picking up what I'm putting down right now?
I will say, bro, I was like, oh, I'm just going to chuck it. Like, if they go with it, cool. If they don't, maybe next time we train them, and they were right on point. I think it helped that the back of my jacket said Mello don't miss. So everybody behind me was like, oh. I think that's what we're supposed to say. the last two times, Charlotte was a great crowd too. The last time, like the first two crowds coming back to America have been very receiving of us, SmackDown. I'm excited to get to Fort Lauderdale. I don't know if we've been to this building before. We might have. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian knows. He's been down there. And again, I'm guessing you're excited because we're on the road to WrestleMania. We're running up to it. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of great crowds. Mello, I certainly appreciate the time. Love that took it out to jump on with us. Best of luck going forward with the U.S. Championship, and look forward to seeing you on Friday down in Sunrise.
Oh, yeah.
Again, that is the U.S. champ, Carmelo Anthony, joining us again. Check him out. If you're down in Sunrise, down in that Florida area, check them out for SmackDown tomorrow night. Great conversation with him. And again, just seeing him be able to stick with it, because we talked about it when he first debuted. Could not have had a bigger debut. Being one of the top draft picks, you wrestled Cody Rhodes right away, and then he just kind of went away, and he was doing stuff backstage and catering, and now we're starting to see him start to realize some of that potential.
And it's always funny to hear the point of view where we talk about the bangers and we have our matches of the week and his name's come up a lot recently. And he's the one like, sort of want to tell some stories though. Like, I don't want to just go out there every week and do the matches. I want to do more. But yes, the patience. We talk about the youth problem in WWE. There's one of your solutions right there. 31 years old, young, fresh, hip. Let him do his thing. Just tell some stories with him now.
Yeah, I am just imagining a world where they finally get, you know, kind of the WWE machine behind him. And it's already starting, we see, with Trick. And I guess whenever, you know, Oba decides wherever he's going to sign, because we keep going back and forth there, just trying to drag our feet. But you see some of that youth coming when Bron Breakker comes back healthy. Like, you're okay, we've got some things here. Hopefully we can tell some fun stories. All right, what do we got at number three this week, Brian?
In the world of AEW, we know it'll be MJF versus Hangman for the title. Last night, the stipulation laid out for a Texas death match. If MJF accepts next week and Hangman loses the title match, it means he will never challenge for the world title again. Is this the right move by AEW?
It was shocking.
Yep.
It was shocking. Like, because he dragged out the way he said it, I assume, because we've been down this road before in AEW, when Cody did it against Jericho at the very beginning of the birth of this company, and then Cody lost, you go, oh, okay. And obviously that was a mistake. That was a mistake because you kept kind of hitting this creative glass ceiling with Cody, where the biggest thing he could challenge for is the TNT championship and things ended for him the way they did in AEW. But for Hangman, who is one of those pillars. Like, he is one of your guys. If MJF accepts this next week, like, Hangman has to win. Like, I can't imagine a world where Hangman Adam Page cannot be challenging for the AEW World Championship. And creatively, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, you can't have one of your biggest stars. And look, it's, we talk about this with WWE and Cody right now. Like, you don't need to always have your biggest stars around the championship, trying to tell some stories without the championship around them and continue to grow their development and character that way. Like, yeah, Hangman doesn't need to be around the championship for as long as MJF has it. You know, like, this is his one shot. And that's what I thought he was going to say. For as long as MJF has it, I won't challenge for it. But that's not what he ended up saying. And it was a shocking development last night.
Yeah, and I guess we could still pivot and because still MJF says no. I'm trying to work through, though, where if we are going down this path, I don't love the idea of Hangman winning it. The title feels a little too hot shot at that point, and they've put a lot into that title not, you know, going from guy to guy every month. Like, it's become long runs. And also, selfishly, I think MJF as mega heel defending against Ospreay at Wembley is a home run for them and is the ultimate, like, look at us now moment. So, like, we need MJF to keep the title.
Is there a possibility MJF, because again, and MJF has other, he's appeared in movies, TV shows, yeah. He's doing an acting thing. Is there a chance that he's going to do something like that we haven't heard about?
That's always a possibility. The one thing in my head that I go back to that maybe we end up going down that path is you mentioned Cody, and we always push from with Cody, like, yeah, you put yourself in that box, oh, I can't challenge. You want to not turn him heel, turn him heel, he challenges, everything's fixed. Could Hangman go down that path? One of the top faces of your company, he loses, he's frustrated. It looks like Swerve's turning heel also. Mega heel Swerve and Hangman running the show in AEW.
Jeez, I was about to say, well, yeah, after everything that happened with Swerve, right. I guess I didn't even put that together. Yeah, maybe, because... And with Cody, it got to a point where it's like, all right, man, like, it's been right. long enough. Like, yes. we've honored it for as long as we can. Yeah. Kind of like retirements. You honored it for as long as you can. And then creatively, we just got to pivot here, man. Like, you got to be able to challenge for this thing. And maybe that's what they can do with Hanger. I don't know. Like, it adds more intrigue to it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I think I was going to be excited for some of the promo battles and some of the build to that match anyway. And the match would have been fun. But at the end of the day, I think we knew... Kind of like you were saying, like, MJF Ospreay seems to be the dream. Whether or not Ospreay's right. ready or not remains to be seen for Wembley later this year, but that seems to be the one that makes the most sense, right? Ospreay finally going over, finally becoming AEW World Champ, overcoming some odds, overcoming some health stuff, and now he's able to be the champion in his home country, in that stadium, over the mega heel MJF.
Right.
Storyline-wise, makes a ton of sense. Kind of like Hangman going over the mega heel of Jon Moxley last year.
Yeah.
Which, okay, we can get to the Death Riders. I have no idea where they currently are aligned. And just every passing day just makes it even more confusing of what where they are storyline-wise. But, I mean, this makes, to me, Revolution even more must-see because I got to see what happens here.
Yeah, that does, but like, it didn't need that. Like, we've done such a great job of the main event storytelling, of all the guys that are in the mix, of everyone, shooting for the champ. We didn't need this stipulation. Hell, we don't even really need the Texas Deathmatch aspect of it. So it's just weird. And I guess going back to that, maybe MJF just says no. When you get a week of this, you get a week of this discussion where it was like, what are they doing? And then ultimately it ends up being nothing. And it's a one-on-one match. MJF goes over and we move on.
And it just ultimately illustrates how desperate Hangman is, right?
Right.
Kind of, and you did that last night, I think, with the pressure for Swerve, and he finally breaks, and he turns heel. And I think that's, again, an offshoot of the World Championship story, of that story of Swerve and how he's losing it, and the pressure is getting to him, and that's a fantastic story to tell. So maybe you're right. And next week, MJF, who is adamant, he just wants a one-on-one wrestling match. You know, he's confident enough in his own abilities. Hey, I'm just going to beat you. Then you got to go to the back of the line. And there's so many other guys that I could be facing, yada, 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 and do that whole thing. And obviously, the way that the crowd reacted to Texas Deathmatch, taking that away from them, also an ultimate heel move.
Right. So you have that going. I'm also going to petition Texas Deathmatch, maybe a new name, especially if we're not going to do it in Texas, which will be multiple times of this now. We just go death match. We call it an AEW death match. Like, I don't think we need the Texas part anymore.
Yeah, I don't understand the Texas part, I guess. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't understand why, like, death matches are exclusive to Texas.
I guess. Like, makes like, no sense.
You know, like, yeah, it's, you can just call it a death match.
Yeah. And everyone's happy.
Yeah, but I feel like most of the other ones have been in Texas, have they not?
I don't think him and Swerve was. Like, that's the baffling part.
Okay. Okay.
So I just don't get it. Where was this? What was this? So it was Revolution. They wrestled a lot.
Yeah, they did wrestle a lot.
Like, I just, stuff like that, it's, you know. AEW Full Gear 2023, which took place in the Kia Forum in California, which is where Revolution will be. So it's the Texas-California okay. death match.
So, you know, again, you just extend apparently Texas all the way out to California now. yeah, just it's yeah, I don't think you need to call it. But again, that's, I guess, the way AEW's decided to brand it. Because, again, I was trying to think of, okay, what are they going to do here? And honestly, at the way that Hangman was kind of building it up, Texas Deathmatch, maybe because but he's not even from Texas.
Right.
Like, he's just a cowboy. He's from Virginia. Like, I don't understand what we're doing here. I thought that maybe AEW was going to try to come up with their version of Hell in a Cell, you know, and try to, you know, have an enclosed cage, because that's something they haven't done in AEW before. That's what I thought. I mean, it's going to be tough to top the name Hell in a Cell, which obviously is trademarked. So I don't know exactly what you would call it, where people would get the idea of what you were requesting for your stipulation. I thought that was a possibility. Yeah, Texas Death. I didn't see it coming because, again, we weren't in Texas. But I guess I completely forgot that we've already done this not in Texas already.
Yep. There we go.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision. That's for sure. But maybe it goes away next week. What do we got in news and notes this week?
All right, the John Cena retirement tour still getting some headlines. Cena was on No Contest Wrestling and revealed that Bruce Pritchard pitched the idea that Cena's final match be a one-match card in D.C. Cena says he's the one that shot the idea down, says, well, a one-match card would kill the live crowd. He then is the one that pitched to have young stars on the actual card.
So are all of Bruce Pritchard's ideas bad or just the ones that become public? Because he gets, like, the editing team of Unreal throws him under the bus, basically, right? And when they're talking about, God, what are they even talking about? I forget. But he was like, well, why do we do this? And the writer's like, what are you talking about? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. He obviously throws our girl, friend of show, under the bus in Chelsea Green, which she was not happy about. And now Cena lets it fly that Pritchard just wanted to have one match. One match. That's it for the Cena. Like, yeah, and Cena, thank God he actually has some brains where he goes, no, that kills the live crowd. That doesn't make any sense.
Could you imagine those four poor pans spending more money to be there? Oh, we're at Cena's final match. And you get one match over 2.5 hours?
And
then you're just watching video packages and commercials and Cricket wireless ads.
Like, I was all on board for Cena losing. Like, that made the most sense.
I forgot about that part. Yeah.
People were pissed off that he tapped. So the one match you're going to have, and then, like, you have nothing else to be excited about. Like, there's nothing else, because at least there were other things on the card that were fun. And we talked about the young matches and how they were able to shine. And it was a lot of fun. And then Cena goes out the way he wanted to go out. And which, again, I supported. But if that's the only match on the card, like, Cena would have had to win. Because if it's going to be the only match, you can't have it end with him tapping out. Like, you just can't do that. Like, you would literally kill DC. You could never go back to one of the most populous areas of the country. Because you would have killed the crowd, not just for the night, but for a couple of years. Unbelievable.
WWE backstage. Watch Unreal for more of these wonderful ideas. Nearly 4 years after suffering a broken neck on SmackDown, Big E has revealed that his in-ring career is, in fact, over. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, Big E said doctors told him he might be cleared, but they wouldn't recommend going back in the ring. He said that helped him make that final decision.
Yeah, and look, he had a hell of a career, man. Like, he had an absolute hell of a career. Yeah. Was it the Players Tribune? I get confused at where, you know, some of these athletes write these pieces. And the one that he wrote was last year was powerful. It was fantastic, I think, kind of explained where he came from, what he went through, even to get to the point before he became WWE champ, when he cashed in Money in the Bank. He is just a big personality, man. And I'm glad they have something for him to do when he's doing these pre-show stuff and doing The Bump, is that what the podcast is called, part of the WWE podcast network. But he's doing stuff for them. And I'm bummed because I enjoyed Big E as a wrestler and thought he was really coming into his own. And then the injury was just unfortunate. We all blame Ridge Holland more than he does, seemingly. Right. So it seems like he's in a really good place mentally, and bummed for him that he's never going to be able to wrestle again, but happy for him that he seems at peace for it.
And I think also for fan standpoint, when we got the New Day heel turn, I think everyone in their back and forth was like, well, Big E's coming back. Like, he's going to get his comeuppance. He's going to go get those guys. So to hear this and to see it play out, it is sad, but obviously he's at peace, which is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, some contract news. Chris Jericho to WWE. Rumors continue to swirl, but it might not be happening anytime soon. Fightful reports Jericho is still on the AEW roster, and his contract is reportedly frozen from when he took time off. We last saw him on AEW television in April of 25. Reports also point out that Jericho, for the Jericho Cruise in November, has not booked any AEW talent like he has in the past.
Something seems strange here, right? Where I don't know if Tony Khan just, again, everybody assumed he was going to go back for retirement tour with WWE, and TK just didn't want that to happen or prolong it for as long as he could. I would recommend not doing that because, again, if you want to extend time because you're going to use someone with injury stuff, like we've seen this with WWE, like, but don't just extend time just to do it.
Right.
Like, have goodwill. I understand you don't want people going from your place to the other place. WWE doesn't want people going from theirs to AEW, but like, just conduct good business and have people want to go there and come back. And if the reason comes out that they decided to do this because they wanted to try to screw WWE, as a fan, I don't like that.
I don't know, that's just the wrestling fan in me. So we had the rumors this week. There's a giant box that's going to be unopened at Elimination Chamber. People tied that to Jericho. Now we find this out about Jericho.
Well, that's why I think Sean Ross Sapp is the one who found this out over at Fightful. So I'm guessing that's why he dug in. Like, oh, let's go ahead and see what the contract situation is, because everybody thought he'd be back. But he hasn't been like moved. He's still, if you go to AEW's website and you go to the roster, Chris Jericho is still there.
So is there a world where it's Jericho feeding the story, knowing that he will be in Chicago Elimination Chamber, and that's the swerve element as he pops out of a box?
I mean, it seems very Jericho-like, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, he's the ultimate carny, and I mean that in a respectful way, but like, this would add to that.
to reinvent himself as many times as he did. I did see one speculation. It could be somebody who's very nice and very evil.
Yes. I'm curious to see how that goes over the WWE crowd.
I don't know how. I mean, in Chicago, the pop in Chicago would be enormous. Because again, as we cover, like, Chicago very plugged in as a fan base. I don't know how Danhausen works in the WWE machine.
Yes, I hope he enjoys his backstage vignettes with friend of show Matt Cardona and Apollo Crews. That would be where he ends up.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would enjoy those. Again, I don't know how much Cardona and everybody else would.
Right.
I'm it adds more intrigue to, okay, who, because someone is in that box.
Yep.
That is a person-sized box.
So, more intrigue for Elimination Chamber.
What did you have for your matches of the week? And are we just going to be talking about Grand Slam Australia during this portion of the segment? Is that what we're going to be doing here?
I think so. I did a good job avoiding spoilers. You got amazing matches the whole night. If I had to pick one, I might go Mox to Kesta, the 20-minute time limit draw, which we're going to run back at Revolution in a few weeks.
And it was kind of a bummer, and I'm glad it happened during a commercial break where they lost the feed there, but it happened while they're doing the picture-in-picture thing, so not that big of a deal, because, again, your attention's kind of divided, and it's hard whenever they do the picture-in-picture thing to pay attention, because the sound's obviously for the commercials that they play. But it was all really good, man. Yeah. Like, Hangman versus El Idolo, like Brody King, MJF, Fletcher Briscoe, some of the stuff they were doing off the ladders. Like, it's instead of a match of the week, we're just going to say all of the matches from Grand Slam Australia. I think that's what we're doing here, is just paying respect to what that event ultimately was. But again, now I've got questions about So what's her name ended up kind of aligning with Megabad.
Yes.
At the end of the tech. Why didn't they interfere on behalf of Megan Bain last night in the Fatal Four Way?
Meltzer,
like, there's no disqualifications.
That is true. Meltzer reported there's a sickness going around. A lot of last night had to be rewritten, and that some people that were in Australia then ultimately weren't on the show last night. He didn't say who, and you know, who knows if it's true, but there is that aspect to it. Maybe.
And a little bummed that we did not get to see a fully bald Wheeler Yuta. He was wearing some sort of like cap and with his hood up during the Death Rider vignette yesterday. I'm waiting for that.
Yes, I think that's a good job on him. You could string that along for a few weeks before finally a baby face, you know, unmask his head and we see that.
Which, so Mox shows up and makes sure that he gets his head shaved?
Yes, he's a thoughtful heel.
This is a new subcategory of wrestling, the thoughtful heel.
Yes.
Doesn't make that kind of sense.
Just to speak to what AEW is, you have that show on Saturday, and then a few days later last night, we have Swerve and Kenny do what Swerve and Kenny do.
Well, yeah, and apparently Kenny's got some previous engagements, so that's what they're coming up. So looks like he's going to be written off TV for a little bit. He's going to be in Japan, I believe, on the date of the pay-per-view. So that's why we got a pay-per-view match to close out a middle of February Dynamite.
Shout out to Aubrey for taking that bump, though. You don't see her do that a lot, if ever. So that was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, it doesn't happen very often. Also, like, what happened on SmackDown? Like, did Teddy Long come back and just start booking tag match after tag match? Like, we looked like we were getting we just talked with Mello. We thought we were going to get, you know, him and Dragon off. That ends up into a 10 man.
Yeah, 10, 8, I don't even remember. Yeah,
it was a 10 man segment. Beginning of the show, it somehow ends up into a 6 man. Like, it's a tag team match, playa. Like, that's all we were missing. We were just missing Teddy Long coming out declaring tag team matches, which was just strange.
Yeah, I'm trying to think the main event on SmackDown was good, besides the ending with Cody, Sammy, and Fatu. Like, it was just a bunch of fine this week in terms of WWE wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because again, it seems like they're spinning their tires a little bit, because the only thing they seem sure that there are two things that they seem, or I shouldn't say that, three things that they seem sure about right now. Cody's wrestling for the WWE Championship. Obviously, they feel good about Punk and Roman, and it looks like they feel good about Liv and Vicar.
Great.
Other than that,
nice.
Yeah. Other than that, it's pretty wide open right now in WWE, and we've got 2 months before WrestleMania that they've got, because Chamber's the last like pay-per-view before that, right?
Yep. Okay. I don't even think we have a Saturday night's main event. Like, it is full go from there, and they're still figuring it out.
All right. Well, hopefully they continue to figure it out a little bit more tomorrow night with Friday Night SmackDown on Monday Night Raw. The one thing I know for sure is, first, you should be taking a look at our YouTube page, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. If you happen to miss our interview earlier today with Carmelo, with Mello, people said Carmelo Anthony, with Carmelo Hayes, we were excited to have him. We've got some great interviews that we've got scheduled that are going to be posted there as well, part of next week's show. So it's WrestleMania season. We're going to be talking to a lot of people in that run-up to WrestleMania. We're going to talk all about everything in the world of pro wrestling right here next week on GKW.